You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Thursday, December 8th, 2016, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman, joined as always by the King, Scott Engel, Fantasy Executive Corey Parson, and Tony Cincotta as well. Go over the next 3 hours until the Fantasy Best Friends Forever come your way at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the program. Today, we will talk Thursday night football. A good one for you tonight with the Raiders and the Chiefs. That'll be a fun game. Kick off your fantasy playoffs. That'll be good. We will talk some Survivor football for those that are still left. I have friends that are still left going for a cool mill. Cool mill.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of, which league is this?
Well, I don't want to say it on the air because I don't want to shut down.
Okay, cool. Cool.
But it's a legit cool mill. They have like two teams a week right now. And start doing three week 16 and 17 if they survive that. So that'd be crazy. That's why we're still doing this, to help my buddies out. We got that. We got some headlines. We got some more baseball and basketball news to talk about, including Aroldis Chapman returning back to the New York Yankees. We'll talk about that as well. But we start off saying good morning. What's going on, Scotty?
Well, it's a very busy time of year. Pot stove is hot. Adam Eaton going to the Nationals. You have to wonder if, maybe the Nationals gave up too much, considering what they surrendered. Chapman back with the Yankees. We got a good Thursday night game, we hope, tonight between the Raiders and the Chiefs.
Corey, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. Getting ready for the Thursday night football myself. Getting ready to, set some more lineups and get on with the season. You know, got some big stuff going on in the hot stove. I know Bryce Harper is Bryce Harper has 1 foot out the door in Washington.
Yeah, so he's pumped to head to New York.
Yeah, he's got 1 foot out the door. I mean, he's not headed to Queens either.
No.
So, just looking forward to the end of the fantasy football season.
Why would anybody think he's headed to Queens?
Well, yeah, exactly.
We're not waiting until 2019 to be a contender.
You've been waiting since 1986.
you got to live in the past, though. The Yankees haven't won a playoff game in 4 years, and they probably won't until at least 2019.
All right.
God, why are you doing this thing?
He started. I'm not. Go ahead, Greg. It's back on you.
Tony, good morning.
How are we doing? How are we doing today? It's Thursday. Week 14 is here. I got the realization this morning that fantasy football is almost over.
Yeah. Legit.
What are you guys going to do?
I don't know.
DFS hoops like Greg and,
That's what I was telling people today. Yeah. That's the pacifier to baseball season.
Yeah,
you guys got to start getting involved out there, right? And stay in fantasy.
Yeah, DFS hoops. I'm going to watch more NBA. I got NASCAR about a month and a half away from me. I'm sure there's a lot of people playing fantasy golf, etc. So, there's other fantasy sports to explore, and seasonal players will start getting ready for baseball.
Yeah, unfortunately, Scotty, everyone's lives doesn't just surround fantasy sports. Like for me, for instance.
Well, if they're listening to this show, we better keep them intact on fantasy sports.
Well, sure, but like when you just ask me that fantasy football's over, what am I going to do? I'm not going to start prepping for fantasy baseball.
What are you going to
do? You
got to
lie,
fantasy-wise.
Sussman. You're supposed to lie. You're a fantasy host.
Oh,
it's what people are going to do fantasy wise.
I wasn't sure. I didn't realize that was the question.
You watch Westworld even when you're playing fantasy football.
I do.
I have a wife. Wife and a
child,
son,
yeah.
Tony's got a family, Corey's, got his things going on too, he's
family,
got his
children.
Kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just about to get to that,
yes.
But what are you going to do fantasy wise to fill that void?
I didn't realize that was the question. I thought he was saying, what am I actually going to do? I thought that was the question.
Well, for a lot of people that are so intense to it, they almost it's almost like losing a fix and like needing some morphine. There are a lot of people that
you know what it
about
is
it.
Yeah, I think what it is to a lot of people is that it's a diversion from life. Like when you have like a family and you have things, it's like that 1 hour a day for a lot of people that you get away from.
For
it's yourself.
You
do your own little. your own little thing. And I think that's how people treat fantasy sports. I think the general population is that's how it is. And they talk, you know, once in a while with their buddies about trades and things like that. It's their way and escape from the real world without, you know, going crazy and drinking 10 Budweiser.
Yeah, without having a vice, yeah.
So what you're saying is the fantasy football is the vice.
Well, he's saying it replaces. It's something that, you know, instead of having a vice, you know, this is the thing that you like to do for yourself, to enjoy yourself and have fun and have a diversion.
All right. Corey,
take that away after 16 weeks. It's crazy, right?
Well, you know, you do a playoff
on the rug.
You do have playoff football. You can move playoff pools.
DFS.
DFS, sure.
DFS,
absolutely.
Playoff football.
So you have plenty of stuff.
I enjoy playoff pools, but I wish there were more people played.
Yeah, so I like the playoff pools.
I don't play playoff DFS. I'm in a playoff pool for quite a bit of money, kind of like the Survivor pool, where you basically just have to pick two games against the spread, or two games against the spread every day, or maybe one game against the spread every day, something like that. All the way through the Super Bowl. If you get that one game right, or two games right, depending on the day, you win a lot of money. So that's pretty fun. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I like that, too.
Yeah,
I like
that's that. Good. Totally
I like playoff fantasy pools. Like when you, so basically you have your draft or you pick your players prior to the season, and then you have to keep in mind, which is different from the regular season, which teams will progress farther in the playoffs. And because you can't pick up any players once that starts, so then you're actually predicting who is going to win the Super Bowl or who's going to take into that game, as well as picking the right players. And I like that aspect of things.
Yeah, absolutely. Corey, you've been quiet on this playoff discussion.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do?
I have one that I do. I'll probably do two of them this year. You know what I mean? So I'm looking forward to that, to say the least. You know. Celebrate and you know some of my 2016 victories. You know, might pop a bottle or two. You know, get ready for some DFS hoops. Get that done. Got baseball coming up because you know it's time for me to show my dominance in baseball too. I think that's important for people to understand that the fantasy executive puts his mind to it. He can beat the king in any fantasy sport. So, you know, just stuff like that.
And so then, you're becoming delusional now that fantasy
got the NFL draft, you know what I'm saying? That'll be around, you know, free agency. It's a lot going on sports-wise, but mentally, after this, you know, after, like, you know, this time of year, what I start to do is, you know, I'm setting my lineups, doing all of that stuff that I still got going on, obviously, trying to win championships in a couple leagues, whatever, but it's not as intense no more. So I'll start to enjoy the games more now. I'll enjoy the NFL playoffs specifically.
As a regular football
fan. Like, I'm not sitting up there rooting on, you know, T.Y. Hilton to get another catch. You know what I'm saying?
I just want to see a good game.
I just want to watch football like just like a fan. You know what I'm saying? I miss doing that the first couple of months of the season.
I don't know if I have that same issue. It's kind of like I was talking about yesterday. It's like when I'm watching the Seahawks, I'm focused mostly on the Seahawks. Of course, it's the back of my mind. You know, this guy scores. But, you know, to me, it's like, you know, I'm focused on that game. It's like from 1 to 4 o'clock, you know, I'll be all into fantasy. At 4 o'clock, you know, I'll watch the Seahawks because they usually play at 4. I'll keep up on the other games fantasy-wise, but you know, I like focusing more. I'm with you. I like focusing more on the NFL just from a pure NFL perspective.
Yep.
Interesting. I just find it so interesting, Scott, how you're able to just totally separate it.
Mostly separate. I would say about 80% of my focus is on the Seahawk game when they're playing.
Yeah, but it's because you're not looking at scores until 7:30, so you don't really know what's going on. You don't really
have an idea.
I'm still not buying that.
I have an idea in my mind.
Looking at scores until 7:30 thing. I'm still not buying that.
Step outside of yourself and believe that somebody would do something differently than you? You're calling me a liar now?
I feel like I heard you say earlier this week that you were checking your scores during the game.
No, I didn't. I never said that.
He said earlier this week he checks the matchup.
I checked the matchup. Oh, yeah, because the other owner.
Oh, yeah, because it's the playoff time now. Yeah. You did that. That's what it was.
I told you after what happened Monday night. It's too stressful for me.
Well, you know, I had the situation go down this week.
So what's going on?
Stat corrections came out this morning.
And
I saw them come through on the ESPN page.
And
after further review, the ruling on the field stands.
Well, you're a champ.
Fantasy executive.
You just won $10,000.
Yeah. Greg.
Well, I'm excited for you.
People could be listening. Don't have to say the numbers.
Gonna eat Rock and Riley's.
I can have one lunch at Rock and Riley's.
Treat me and Greg too. Treat me, Greg.
Hey, the Rock and Riley's bill come and be like, oh wow, you're broke again.
But Greg and I and Don appreciate it.
Well, thank you. You gentlemen. Just meet me Saturday.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. So, successful season
Who's
so
better
far.
Than you?
All right, well, you know, we still got the big one is still hanging out there, so you're going to the shootout rounds now. So, you know, it's another day at the office.
Another day.
Now, let me stop talking trash.
How nice.
I couldn't really sleep last night, to be honest with you.
Really?
I was tossing and turning a little bit.
You were?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And then I was okay. And then my son, teachers keep emailing me. You know what I'm saying?
Something going on with your son at school?
This boy needs to get his act together. You know what I mean? Jesus.
I don't like that.
Yeah, he needs to get his act together.
Is he like his dad?
he talk a little trash too, but not as much.
Did you tell me he went to the Yankees National game?
He was a little boy when he did that. He's in high school now, and every time he turn around, these people are emailing me like, this boy won't sit his behind down. He talk trash. You know what I'm saying? I'm like,
sounds like a young fantasy executive.
Come on, son, you can't do this. You know what I'm saying?
You gotta tell him that.
Are you trying to motivate him by telling him, talking about him on national radio?
I mean, you know, the man, you know, how to, you know, I need to, you know. Hey, you know, I just opened up my social media page, and I see a picture that we took 1 year ago today.
Really?
Yeah.
Am I in it?
Yes, you are in it.
How about that?
You got on a Stay Mellow shirt.
Ah, I like that shirt.
Uh-huh. You got on a Stay Mellow shirt. You got a belt, a championship belt. Yeah. That means you in full Sussmania mode.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Scott's in the picture.
Yeah.
And so is, what's this guy's name?
I don't know.
He used to play for, I forgot this bum's name already.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. You're about Ruben Randle.
Ruben Randle, yeah. Yeah, that was a thing for about a month.
Yeah. I really wanted to ask him hard questions, and Scott was asking about his high school performances.
Oh, remember, you were supposed to ask about Tom Coughlin. Oh, you did ask about Tom Coughlin.
Of course I did.
Though. Yeah. Scott, were you against him asking about Tom Coughlin?
No, he said that I can ask whatever I want, but that he feels interviews should go a certain way, and that he's going to ask his type of questions.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, we balance each other out.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Tony, if you was to interview Bryce Harper today, what would you ask him? One of the questions that you would ask him.
I would ask him, how do you become so successful, Bryce Harper, on and off the field? And I don't have to read about you being pulled over at 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't have to read about you and your posse going out and causing problems. How do you keep it all into perspective?
That's you think he has a posse? Him. I've only seen him with one person, that girl.
I guess his woman. Pictures of him and his family, including his parents, at the zoo.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Cool.
Take it to the zoo.
Yeah. You think Cam Newton goes to the zoo?
Yeah, probably teases the animals.
Cam Newton go to the zoo? Yeah, sure.
Scotty, sometimes the politically correct thing is not to answer the question.
Wow, that's coming from that guy, too, right? Like Wreck-It Ralph. Ask Tony a question about a host on another platform and see if he can be a bias.
Oh, my God. Can you believe? No, I don't see Cam Newton at the zoo.
It's possible.
Take it to the zoo, Corey. Adrian, take it to the zoo.
I know he frequents a Walmart often. I know somebody that sees him in Walmart all the time.
What does Walmart have to do with the zoo?
Well, he's regular. You know what I'm saying?
He goes shopping, right?
He goes to Walmart. Yeah, you got to pick up the toiletries.
He don't dress like he goes to Walmart.
No, he probably have one.
What's he get?
What, does he own part of Walmart or something?
Walmart,
I mean, he needs toilet paper just like the rest of us do.
Well, no, he goes in there, and then what he'll do is...
he goes to Walmart to buy it, though?
Well, no, he does.
He gets somebody to do it for him.
No, he goes to Walmart. Cam Newton goes to the Walmart.
Cam Newton, look at the way he dresses. He don't go to Walmart.
Wait, why are you judging people how they dress?
He goes to some high-end supermarket and gets some silk toilet paper.
Wait a minute. Why are you judging the people by the way they dress, Scott?
Cam Newton. Why? Look at the way he dresses.
The way he dresses means he doesn't use normal toilet paper?
I'm probably not.
I know someone.
What makes you say that?
Yeah, in the off season, yeah. We'll see Cam Newton.
He likes the finer things in life.
Like at least once a week.
I believe you.
Yeah.
Guy needs toilet paper. He needs some napkins,
There's
paper towels.
There's some guy in the neighborhood that looks like Cam Newton. It ain't
no,
Cam
you're really
Newton.
Not going to mistake Cam Newton, Scott. Yeah. He's like, oh, that's Cam Newton. Yeah, he looks like LeBron
He's
James.
He's got his own part of Walmart.
Scott, you're friends with David Wright. Is David Wright going to toilet paper?
Exactly.
I'm not that tight with David,
David Wright.
Wright
uses hand? You know what
I mean? Hold on.
He's not from a third world country.
You've had meals with David Wright.
Yes, you have.
Does he eat like a human being?
But I don't follow him to the bathroom.
Hold on. When David Wright.
You know what?
One second, Tony. When David Wright has lunch, right? You've had lunch with him.
Yeah.
Does he order the entire restaurant? Does he eat more than he should?
No,
he's a normal guy.
He's a normal guy, but Cam Newton doesn't carry himself like a normal guy.
Of course he does.
No, he doesn't.
Do you see him in his personal life? No. How do you know? You only see press conferences.
David Wright don't dress like that often.
So now you're judging people by the way they dress.
David
Wright. I think it says something about him.
Cam Newton probably has some kind of apparel deal.
Yeah.
The reason why matter of fact, I'm sure of that.
Oh, he does.
He does, 100%.
So, but I'm thinking that's probably when press conferences and stuff like that, getting off the plane, coming through the tunnel. But when going to the Walmart, it's like sweatshirt, sweatpants, you know what I'm saying?
Under Armour stuff, probably.
Yeah, stuff around the knock around the house and stuff.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
You got to pick up stuff.
Maybe he needs everyday stuff like us, but you think like Under Armour, he doesn't need to buy.
He has a baby.
He doesn't have to buy clothes. Maybe underwear.
He has a young child. Probably like a one or less than probably about he has a child about between 12 and 16
players,
months.
Though, in the past,
he probably got to go buy
personal assistants though, and they send the people to go do the shopping.
Cam be at the Walmart. Cam goes to the Walmart.
I'm gonna ask. I'm taking my Bryce Harper question back, and I ask him if he buys his own toilet paper.
Yeah, I do. No. So you know, big star like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They got to go to the. You know. You used to see your boy all the time, right?
Who?
Bernard King.
What about him?
When he was a big star. You saw. You used to see Bernard King, you know what I'm saying?
Off the court, like Bernard, but dressed really snazzy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, really snazzy. I'm sure there was like gold-plated toilet paper.
Yeah.
Paul Pierce used to go to the Burger King drive-thru.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
Paul Pierce had plenty of money.
So...
At one point.
Delonte West.
Yeah, he does have a lot of money.
Delonte West.
You and Paul Pierce have something in common.
What's that?
Go to Burger King. So does Tony Stewart.
They go to Burger King.
Look at that.
When I interviewed Tony Stewart, the NASCAR driver, he showed me his Burger King gold card. Like only a few people in the world have it.
Wow.
Only a few select people in the entire world have it. It's like the Burger King like elite.
Yeah.
Gold card.
Oh, boy, the top 1% of Burger King users. Yeah, but you know, I used to see in the off season, Delonte West would work at the furniture store in my neighborhood, at the furniture store.
Really?
Uh-huh. I don't know why. You know what I'm saying? But I guess he wanted to stay out of trouble. It didn't work.
Wow. You know,
keep busy.
I'm trying to remember the fullback's name from Super Bowl III for the Jets.
Oh, boy. Bruce Harper?
No. Super Bowl III.
I'm just playing, Scott.
Bruce Harper was actually before that because he actually used to work in operations at my community college.
Look at that. See?
Yeah.
Athletes have lives too, Scott. Yeah. Athletes' lives matter.
Shocking. Shocking. All right. We're going to take a break now. When we return, I want to talk about some of the stuff from yesterday around the NFL, including if Doug Martin's role is in danger this Sunday. We'll do it next here on the Roto Experts. Back here on the Roto Experts in the morning, Angle, Sussman, Parson, and Sincata hanging out with you today. Yes, Scott, I'm assuming your finger means you're about to promote something.
Well, also, Matt Snell was the Super Bowl III fullback who worked at my LaGuardia Community College when I was attending. And George Kurtz is chatting tonight for
I knew
free
that was coming.
On RotoExperts.com.
Don Burns, could you please hand me my bell? Please. Thank you very much.
Please hand me my bell, Doc.
There we go.
And pass the great coupon.
You think Greg goes to Walmart?
I actually do my shopping on Amazon.
Oh, there you go.
He does.
No. I'm
above going to Walmart.
Is there a Walmart in the city?
It's not, Scott.
There's a Walmart in New York City. Yeah, how do you make it to Walmart?
We go to Target instead.
Is there a Target in New York City? Yes, there is.
Yeah.
There is?
There's several.
I don't know where the closest Target
Manhattan,
is.
Manhattan, but there's a few of them in Queens.
Right, so I'm not going to go to Queens, just go to Target.
It's a Target uptown. I don't think you would come uptown and go to Target.
It's just easier for me to go to, like, Duane Reade.
Yeah, Duane Reade is right there.
What about, though, when you buy clothes and stuff like that, though?
I go to J. Crew.
Yeah.
Banana Republic. Yeah. Where do you buy your clothes? Target?
I'll go to Target, or it depends on where I sit. I do a lot of shopping at Modell's because not only do they
you get the gift cards for free.
No, I don't. I do not. Let the bulbs be accurate.
Oh, bulbs, accurate bulbs. You know, they got accurate bulbs going on.
I don't hang quite at like J. Crew, but you know,
is J. Crew really a finger like a pinky up?
Banana Republic.
Why didn't say Bloomingdale's? I said Banana Republic.
I'm sure you consider Bloomingdale's slumming, but you know, you're asking me about Modell's. I've been shopping at Modell since I've been a little kid, way before I ever got the gift cards. But I go there because not only the team stuff, but I like a lot of their casual clothing, too.
Is anything that you're wearing right now from Modell's?
No. Not this shirt, but these jeans are from Modell's.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Gotta go to Modell's.
Yeah, I helped Mitch build his empire. Like,
really?
Helped so many times shopping there.
Really?
Oh, okay.
We can get Mitch on the program and ask him if that's true.
It's a great story. Corey was on Radio Row with me at Super Bowl 48.
Oh, that's good. Nate, a little promotional drop to yourself, sure.
And we radio, I don't know what I was promoting. I said,
yourself.
Corey,
I was on Radio Row.
Right.
Right.
So, you know, and Mitch Modell was there, like, right by our set, and I said, Mr. Modell, I just wanted to...
No, of course it's Mr.
Yeah, first time I met him. So I said, Mr. Modell, you know, I just want to let you know I've been shopping at your store since I've been a young kid.
Yeah.
You know, I really appreciate everything you and your family have done. He goes, oh, which stores? I said, College Point, Rego Park, Times Square. He goes, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. He gave me a gift card, and then I went to Modell's in Times Square and bought some Super Bowl 48 merchandise.
Hey, last time I've been to Modell's, and then I'll get
There's
off
one
this.
Across the street here.
Let me tell you about this damn boy. Like, so last time I went to Modell's, he had to get some sneakers, you know what I'm saying? You know, school year, whatever the case may be. So he goes, right, and we're looking at sneakers and stuff like that, whatever. So I'm like, you know, you find, you know, sneakers, whatever. So I'm looking through, you know, I'm like, oh, get these joints right here, whatever. It was like a buck and change, whatever, $100-something, you know what I mean? This kid, he's like, nah, but I want these. They was like $219. You feel what I'm saying? $219, Scott. And I was like, no. You know what I'm saying? You're crazy. You don't got no job. You know what I mean? You buy stuff yourself, whatever the case may be. Do you know this little entitled son of a gun left the damn Modell's with no sneakers because I wouldn't buy the $220 ones? Can you believe this?
Wow.
This is unbelievable. This is what a teenage boy is doing to me, Tony.
I would.
You know, you should take him on the train to Third Avenue in the Bronx and one of the like stores where it says like Child World, like everything is a world in those neighborhoods.
Lazarus,
and then take him in and say, okay, fine. You say these are the type of sneakers you can get, and all kinds of skips and stuff, right?
What do you think about that, Tony? Do you have to deal with stuff like this?
I think. Oh, yeah, and I give you credit because you didn't cave in. Most parents cave in these days, and I agree with you. Like, the whole thing with my daughter now, a car, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, I got to get a car. I said, well, you better get a job. That's how you get a car. And then you buy a car.
Yeah.
I said, I grew up. I don't think anyone's ever bought me anything in my life, so it ain't going to start now, so get a job.
My son has always been, like, he's been different than other kids, but, you know, it's he would always go like, okay, this is on clearance. I'm going to get this.
That's nice.
He's very. He's
you make
very,
us
like,
feel bad,
confident.
Scott. You have the perfect unentitled child.
No,
while we have, I got a dude in my house to think he's a damn athlete.
You're a good dad. It's like you know, it's like if that's your worst problem with him.
Well,
you're a good, you know, that says a lot about you. You know,
I try to do the best I can, Scott. Sorry, Greg.
I think the worst thing he does is pull off his shirt and yell 27. You know, he's not hurting anybody.
He won't even do that now.
No, that's
he won't
great,
even,
actually.
Yeah, he
that's
won't even go story. To the game now. He'd be like, I'm going to stay in the house.
Look,
play
there are
the
a lot
game.
Of kids like that who will, like, you know, just want the stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they want the most expensive stuff. It's, you know, my son always wanted, like, a video game system. You know, that's what
he has a lot of those, too.
Yeah.
I could see Greg being the type that would walk out of the store if he didn't get the right sneakers. Greg would back in the
day. I'm trying to actually think. So no, I was never someone that, like looked at sneakers and went to go buy the $200, $300 pair ever, I would walk out of the store because I was very picky with the sneakers that I wanted.
Oh, okay.
I would try on 1,000 of them back and forth and back and forth.
And you just never found the right
correct,
one
the right
for you,
fit,
the right look
right,
or fit.
And it wasn't, you know, I would never someone that wanted a $200. There was never something I would
The only time I did that was when the Air Jordans very first came out, the black and red ones.
The
I
ones,
got them.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. The only time I think I ever did that, Scott, was the first time LeBron's came out. I spent a lot of money on the first LeBrons, actually.
I wanted starter jackets when I was a kid. That was
still
the thing. I wanted a Knicks starter jacket. I had the Mets starter jacket with my name on it.
Oh, you had the Mets one with your name on it?
Yeah, and I had my favorite one was the Seahawks, though, because it just looked so cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lou Mayon went over. We went over to Modell's a few weeks ago, and they re-released the starter jackets in satin. You know, and I think they had the Dallas one. It was like,
and they had the silver one. I saw
one,
navy blue one, navy blue and silver.
And they also
I saw
had like they had three different colors in the Yankees. I think I saw. It was pretty cool.
Okay, all right. I guess after
we're up to date on everything now. Anything else going on?
Hey guys, going on in your lives here?
How about Modell's? They got a 15-minute infomercial.
Well, we got the Steiner Sports gift guide on this channel, too. So I love doing stuff like that.
You do love promotion, absolutely, free or not.
It's fun. You know why? Because I actually do this stuff. I don't back anything I don't do. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, they could pay me for that.
You know, they don't – it's like, you know, they don't have to give me anything. It's fine.
Well, nice of you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When we come back, I promise we're gonna talk about
talk some football.
Football coming up next here.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, we'll be back after this. We are back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. What's going on? I hope you're having a wonderful Thursday morning. We're inching closer to Friday, inching closer to the weekend. Thursday Night Football tonight. We'll preview that next hour. Gentlemen, a couple news and notes from yesterday we want to get to. And it sounds like your boy Dirk Koetter and his staff, Corey, are not thrilled with the job Doug Martin's doing. I know you're not the biggest Doug Martin guy. You're Jameis guy or Mike Evans guy. Doug Martin's not really your guy. And we've actually been talking about this kind of on the DL all week. Is that Jaquizz Rodgers played that fourth quarter because Doug Martin, quote-unquote, got banged up. His back got, quote-unquote, bent back.
Bent back like a pretzel.
Right. But Jaquizz Rodgers seemed to look a little bit better than Doug Martin for most of that game. So, this Sunday, you probably can't start Jaquizz Rodgers over Doug Martin, and Charles Sims is coming back, too. But if I'm a Doug Martin owner, I'd be a little bit nervous right now.
Yeah,
right?
If you're a Doug Martin owner, you can't feel comfortable about the situation. But what better options do you have? Tampa Bay has a nice matchup this week. I think you have to put him in your lineup as he should more
absolutely
than likely be the lead dog. And if not, Tampa Bay, even though Jameis wings and throws it around a lot, Tampa Bay's game plan to pass the football down the field is based off play action. Their team total for this week is 27. Like I said, their thing is based off play action. So in order to hit the play action passes down the field to Mike Evans, you got to set it up with the run. And I think Doug Martin is a likely candidate to do that. So I don't know. It could be some motivational speak. I don't really see Quiz Rogers coming in and taking this job, but I do think he gets some snaps this week. But I still think Martin gets the workload.
Tony, we all laughed earlier this season when they gave the ball to Quiz Rogers like 80 times in a game.
30, that was crazy.
30, 80, same thing.
Yeah, I understand.
And we laughed and we said, "Listen, there's nobody else there. There's you know this guy's hurt, this guy's hurt." And that was all true. But throughout his career, Dirk Koetter has had an affinity with Quiz Rogers. Is there more here than, you know, just posturing, as Corey's kind of alluding to?
I'll tell you what. He was averaging, since he came back from the injury, 2.8 yards per carry, Doug Martin. So I think there could be an indication that he's still hurt.
Okay.
And that he's not 100% healthy. So that's where I think Jaquizz Rodgers comes in. And I actually went and picked him up myself. And I think when you look at Jaquizz Rodgers, you talked about the familiarity with the coaching staff there with Jaquizz Rodgers. And I think that's all coming to play where he's going to be the guy that gets a majority of the work down the stretch. But it could be 55-45. I don't expect it to be a big difference.
Well, it's interesting. Scotty, where are you on this year?
I feel like it's going to be a committee here. I think that Martin and Rodgers are going to split some sort of workload, and they're going to have Charles Sims in there to catch passes. I think all three are useful. Like Tony was pointing out this morning on the Fantasy News Desk, you know, he's only averaging 2.86 yards a carry, Doug Martin, so I could see a timeshare between ball carrying there, and then when they want to throw the ball, they bring in Sims there. So this could kind of be a mess you might want to avoid for your fantasy playoffs.
But
Charles Sims was on the way out. See, people are forgetting. People are making Charles Sims better than he was.
Agree.
Charles Sims, before he got hurt, was on the way out.
Yep.
He got to take over the every down role, and he did not do well. And that's when they started bringing in these running backs.
Yep.
Right? And I think that people are forgetting that part.
I totally agree with you, Tony.
I don't think I'm personally forgetting that part because I don't expect Charles Sims to get any carries. I'm saying, you know, Rodgers and Martin will be the ball carrier. But still, Sims has value to them in the passing game, I believe.
You know what? I don't know. I really don't know. I think Tony's totally right that Charles Sims is being phased out a little bit, and they were using Jaquizz Rodgers more, and they have.
Right. That's what I'm saying, committee. I'm not saying those guys are going to carry the ball. I think they still like Sims as a guy, you know, third downs, et cetera, passing sets, playing from behind, that he's going to get some reps.
Let me ask you this. Given what we saw on Sunday, I realize there was no Charles Sims. I totally understand that. But how many snaps between Jaquizz Rodgers and Doug Martin, how would you split that up if I told you that there were 58 snaps?
I'm going to say 30 for Martin and 28 for Jaquizz.
Corey?
That's about right.
Tone?
I would flip the two. I just flip the names.
Wow.
So Doug Martin actually had 36 and Jaquizz Rodgers at 22. So it was a pretty wide separation there. And Peyton Barber had actually 9. I think that number is going to get a heck of a lot closer this Sunday. Mm-hmm. You're right, Corey, in that we're going to have to start Doug Martin. It's a very good matchup, and we're going to have to do it, and it is what it is. But I don't know. I don't feel good about that. How about that?
All right, who would you rather start?
Yep.
Him or Justin Forsett? Because
here we go again.
Absolutely. With damn Justin Forsett.
Absolutely.
This guy, how many lives does this guy have? You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
He cannot, these coaches love him. He bounces around, journeyman, good locker room guy, one of the nicest people in the NFL.
Yeah,
probably why he's able to always keep a job.
Yes.
But does he deserve a job on your fantasy roster? You know what? The way Gary Kubiak is talking,
yes,
I think he does. And you know what? I can't pick him up nowhere now either because all the waiver wires are locked. You know what I'm saying? So,
you know,
whatever. Maybe if you held on to him like by accident after he got cut earlier a couple times this year, you could have a decent piece for the next 2 or 3 weeks.
So it's interesting because let's think about this logically a little bit. They bring in Justin Forsett, and they've said multiple times this week he's going to be in the offensive game plan. We're going to throw him into the fire. He knows the offense, right? He's going to take Capri Bibbs' role in the offense. Capri Bibbs, we all agree his role is expanding. However, this running back split wasn't really a split. I mean, we know that Devontae Booker was dominating carries here. So I think we may be overestimating what Justin Forsett
I kind of agree with you. It's like, what situation would you actually feel comfortable starting Forsett in your fantasy playoffs, knowing that he bounced around, he's going to play a Capri Bibbs kind of role, probably won't be the goal line runner, they'll probably use Booker there, and you know he really didn't do anything for Baltimore earlier this year either.
Obviously you don't play him this week. You don't think next week, if we see a split this week, you don't think next week that Justin Forsett can be a startable guy?
You know, here's one other thing, though. I know maybe he knows the offense, but when you come from one team to another, it's sometimes it takes time to phase a guy in.
Okay.
But I think you're ignoring the obvious.
Okay.
It's been since October 24th that Devonta Booker ran for 4 yards a game.
Yeah.
He has a 1.9, yeah. Mm-hmm. 3.3, 3.2, 2.2, 2.8 yards per carry. They want to throw anyone out there. They just want to get this guy off the field. And the problem with Capri Bibbs is he wasn't good as a pass blocker. He doesn't know the NFL. Justin Forsett knows all that stuff.
Yeah,
I think he's going to get on the field more than Capri Bibbs did.
The problem is, though, when he's on the field, I don't have much confidence that he can produce much.
He ain't going to do worse than that.
Call. What's that?
He ain't going to do worse than Devontae Booker's doing.
Yeah, it's like, why mess with either one of them at this point?
Let's go there here, right?
No, I can go. Yeah, I definitely could go there. I mean, I'm just saying that if you get stuck,
and there are people that are stuck.
Yeah, and I'm not saying you put Justin Forsett in, but to think that he doesn't have an opportunity here is crazy because the other guy's not playing at all.
Yeah, I think he might get an opportunity, but he's not going to produce.
Let me say that. Given what you just said here, Tony, the last time Devontae Booker managed 4 yards to carry, given what you guys have said about Justin Forsett taking on a larger role, and Tony mentioned that he's going to, you know, probably play more than Capri Bears, knowing this offense and the pass protection, so on and so forth. Should we be playing Devontae Booker this week?
Ooh, that's a good one right there.
Yeah, this week, because this week's the last week for some of us.
It could very well be. You're right.
So should we be playing Devontae Booker this week? Forget about saying, oh, let's put in Justin Forsett. I know, Scotty, you say, who are my other options, right? Who are my right. other choices? And you're right. Corey, who are you playing, Devontae Booker or Doug Martin?
Doug Martin. That's Booker. Crazy.
You're playing Booker.
Yeah, better shot of a touchdown.
Is that true?
This guy's been. Hasn't been impressive at all.
I don't know if he's had a better shot at a touchdown.
I think they'll still use him at the goal line. Forsett's not a goal line runner.
I'm definitely Doug Martin against New Orleans and the other teams playing Tennessee.
What about Bilal Powell?
I'm going Powell.
Over Doug Martin? Over Booker? Yeah, in the PPR.
Yeah. Against the 49ers, yeah.
I would go Bilal Powell over both of them. That's the most intriguing matchup to me this week in Daily Fantasy, is what do you do with Matt Forte? He's got the San Francisco 49ers the easiest, but like Forte doesn't look like he can stay on the field for 20 plays anymore. So do they use both backs? What do you do there? I think Bilal Powell is a tricky, tricky play that could pay off for people this week.
I agree with Tony. I think Bilal Powell is a fantastic start with Bryce Petty, a quarterback this week against San Francisco. I really like Bilal Powell better than both of them, too. Nice call there.
Interesting decision here. Three of these four running backs, Rob Kelly, Latavius Murray, Thomas Rawls, and Jordan Howard. I'm leaning towards pushing Howard out of this equation.
How is it three touchdowns? You're pushing him out?
He's at Detroit this week, though.
Yeah, but so what? He's going to touch the football over 20 times.
Rob Kelly against the Eagles? Good shot at getting in the
I'll bench Rob Kelly for Jordan Howard.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And what about
absolutely.
Leave one of these out. Jarvis Landry, Julio, Stephon Diggs, and Malcolm Mitchell.
You know you can't sit.
You asked this about, it's interesting because you asked this yesterday, right?
Yeah.
You asked this Julio Jones or Malcolm Mitchell yesterday. And, you know, you heard what the doc said. It's very, very hard to bench Julio Jones, for sure.
I'm not intending to.
Okay.
So it's Landry, Diggs, and Mitchell. I got to pick two.
I would, out of that group, and it's crazy to me to say this, I can't believe these words are coming out of my mouth,
right?
I would actually sit Landry out of that group.
I thought about that. I did my lineup ranks on rotoexperts.com last night, and I have Mitchell one spot ahead of Landry. And here's the one thing with Landry. Is he going to see Peterson, but is Peterson going to play the slot?
Well, here's the thing with Mitchell. Do we need to calm down with Mitchell?
I don't think so.
You know what, Corey? I said I would sit Landry out. When it came Sunday, I guarantee that just knowing myself,
I
would end up flip-flopping and put Landry back in and taking Mitchell, saying, there's no way I'm taking this chance. And I could regret it Monday, but I think that they're going to have to throw against Baltimore. They're going to throw 40-plus times.
I could use Landry or Mitchell over Howard or Murray.
Baltimore's let out big plays all season long, and he's the only guy in New England, him and Hogan, that get the big plays.
I think it's hard to sit Mitchell, too, because of that. They're not going to be able to run the football.
Would you use him over Howard, Murray, or Rawls, though?
Here's the thing. Oh, excuse me?
Would you use him over Howard, Murray, or Rawls, though?
No. But here's the thing. What about sitting Diggs?
I considered that.
I think that's
just such a target monster.
They have no offense other than him.
They throw to him.
I know he's
10
very
times
good.
A game. I feel like there's such a
the
floor
whole thing
there.
I'm going to that game. It's going to be 6-3.
You know what though? But Diggs will probably still catch 10 passes for 50 yards.
But he has the tough matchup with Ramsey.
A lot of questions.
I still think
he
gets targeted 16 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be targeted obsessively, right? Like, that's the reason you're going to have to
start. That's the thing with Landry, too. I feel like that, too.
You're the damn king. You make the call.
I respect your other opinions.
I'm just fooling with you.
Miami's Miami's offense has become more diverse in the last couple of weeks with the emergence of Devontae Parker, that you don't see Jarvis Landry as much as they used to. And they try to run the ball early in all these games. And if they get any running game at all going, it would keep down the targets for Landry that you would get, you know, around the 10-12 as opposed to the 18 that he used to get.
It's a tough call, Scotty, so let me know what you do. You just go by your rankings.
Yeah. Well, I have Mitchell one spot ahead of Landry.
There you go.
Star Mitchell over Landry.
Yeah.
There you go.
And Tony talking about the run. He's trying to establish a run. Kind of tough against Arizona.
Okay. All right. So these are the decisions you have to make. And I'm surprised you're actually talking about considering benching Latavius Murray, because over the last couple of weeks, I've been impressed with Latavius
Murray. I'm not benching him. I didn't mention benching him. I'm saying, you know.
You just said I could start so-and-so over Murray.
No, I asked.
You just said that.
I said,
no,
would you?
He threw that out there. I threw it out there to see what he would say.
So you're not actually considering that.
No, I can't do it.
He's talking out loud, I guess.
That's
a lot of things we do on this show. It's like, we talk things through.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. We actually threw it out, buddies. Like yesterday when I was asking about Matt Asiata, and y'all were like, slow down.
Chill. Yeah.
Stop drinking in the morning.
It's tough.
Is that a water you want to get for the Rock and Rollies yesterday?
Latavius Murray set season highs, according to Roto World, set season highs in touches and playing time back-to-back weeks here with the Raiders. We actually said this on Monday. We said, listen, if you just watch any of the Raiders game, Latavius Murray's in there on every play now.
Yep.
DeAndre Washington's healthy scratch.
They do sprinkle in Jalen Richard.
He's a pure backup. Yeah. Right.
But, you know, because he does the one thing that Murray can't do. Murray doesn't make anybody miss.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Latavius Murray's in there on the goal line on every single goal line attempt here. He's on the field the majority of the time. We can get some snap counts with him if you'd like. Right. So if I told you the number is 67 between the two of them, what would you accept?
I would say 51-16.
This is Murray and
Jalen Richard.
Wow, 51-16.
I'm actually going to lower that. I'm going to say 45-21.
Then I'll go with his number.
Okay, you
because
like
I think his number is the right number.
Okay, I would ring the bell if it was the right
number. Yeah, I think it was 50. I was going to say 54-12.
50-17. So Scott was
you were close.
Right
I was
there.
Right the first time.
You were right the first time, yeah. 50.
I watched
50.
A lot of that game.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. If you watched any of that game, you would notice that Murray was on the field all the freaking time.
Yeah.
So for those that were worried about Latavius Murray just a few weeks ago, I think those fears have been quelled.
Yeah. He's touchdown dependent, but he always gets it done. It's a powerful offense. He's always going to be near the end zone.
Who are you starting this week? Doug Martin or Todd Gurley?
Oh, it's Todd Gurley. I hate to say this because you sound like a complete fool.
Sorry.
If Todd Gurley don't get it done this week, he's never going to get it done.
And I know what you're saying. I mean, it's the first thing that comes to your mind.
This is the matchup.
It's the first thing that comes to your mind. The listeners, I'm like, MF, you said that, and you've been saying that all season. Todd Gurley has a great matchup this weekend.
Okay, here's a really.
I'm going over the DM. Yeah, the DFS today, and I'm like, I can't even say this without laughing at myself. But if he doesn't do it this week.
All right, here's a really good one. Here's a really good one. Would you start Doug Martin this week? Doug Martin, Devontae Booker, Ty Montgomery.
Doug Martin, Devontae Booker, Ty Montgomery. I don't think I could start Ty Montgomery against Seattle.
He's going to catch a lot of footballs.
No, they're going to have the other guys catching footballs, I think.
It's going to be a lot of points scored in that game.
There is, but I can't use a Green Bay running back in my fantasy playoffs.
You're using a Green Bay wide receiver. That's what you're using. You can play him at running back, but he's really a Green Bay wide receiver.
Again, you asked me Martin or Booker.
Who's going?
I said Booker, better shot of a touchdown, but then Tony said, well, yeah, he's playing New Orleans, and then, you know, Martin might actually average over 3 yards a pop, so I'll go Martin.
Ty Montgomery can catch 7 passes this week.
I would go Montgomery.
So. Okay, Tony, you go Montgomery, Tony.
As the number two. I'm going to go Martin against the game against Saints, and then I'm going to go Booker three.
So I bring up Ty Montgomery here because I want you guys to guess the snap counts for this one, okay? There were 47 snaps for running backs total between Montgomery, Kristen Michael, and James Starks. I mentioned Kristen Michael in yesterday's show, and of course, you all laughed at me.
Who Green Bay play last week?
Green Bay played in the snow against Houston last week.
Oh, okay. All right.
Tony, why don't you give me a breakdown? There's 47 snaps between the three of them. How would you break it down?
Now, Kristen Michael, I think, had about 13.
Okay.
And you said there's 47, right?
Yes,
sir. I'm going to go 13 with Montgomery. That's 26.
Yep.
And 19 with Starks.
James Starks. Okay. Corey.
Go to Scott first.
Scott.
What was the number again?
47.
47. I'm going to say 17 for Starks.
Yep.
20 for Montgomery and 10 for Michael.
Okay. Corey, I have to go to you now.
This is a tough call right here. 17 for Starks, 16 for Montgomery, the rest for Michael.
Okay. James Starks last week, you know what? We'll do it. I'll let you know on the other side of the break.
Oh,
how about that? Oh, geez, I like that, right? All right, we come back with what went on in Green Bay last week after this. Tease what's going on in Green Bay. Everyone kind of split it up pretty relatively evenly. Everyone kind of had it ranked, I believe, Starks, Montgomery, Michael. Right? That's kind of how everyone had it. James Starks.
Hold on.
You said your number already. What do you want? I'm sorry. I was teasing.
Go ahead.
James Starks on Sunday had 7 snaps total.
That's disgusting.
7 snaps.
What? I'm about to say, I didn't watch the game. Yeah.
Kristen Michael had 11.
And Montgomery had the rest.
29 snaps.
You got to play Montgomery.
For Ty Montgomery, who you guys earlier this week, nobody really trusted him. Nobody really trusted Kristen Michael. And I had a feeling that we saw very, very little of James Starks. 29 snaps on Sunday for Ty Montgomery. And I know, Corey, your waivers are done, but he is a free agent in a lot of leagues right now because he was dropped. I think you could go get him, and I want to know, can we start Ty Montgomery this week?
And you could play him this week.
I think so, too.
I disagree with you guys.
Okay.
Because you're thinking about him running the football, Scott. I'm looking at him as a pass catcher.
He might be like the fifth option in that passing game.
I don't see – this is what I think. I think what
– Who are you going to start him over?
I would start him over some of these flexes that I have that suck. Like my Kenny Britt of the world, I'll start.
Kenny Britt's a nice play this week. Britt's a nice play this week.
So is Ty Montgomery. What Mike McCarthy and this Packers coaching staff did before the game against Houston is they watched the tape, right? And they realized how much more effective they were with Ty Montgomery in the backfield. And I'm not saying just running the ball with all the plays they ran out of that backfield with Montgomery there, throwing the ball in these short passes, giving them the ball quite a few times. I think they realize his offense worked better with him back there. I think Ty Montgomery is a very good play this week. Did he have more touches?
Who?
Did he?
Michael.
I don't have that in front of me.
Yeah, I'm bringing it up right now.
Okay.
I thought he had 9 carries.
Ty Montgomery had 6 carries. Kristen Michael had 9. But Montgomery's 6 carries, he had 40 yards. Kristen Michael had 19.
Yeah, but what kind of yardage is he going to get Seattle?
Right.
He's not going to get that kind of yardage. And if they want to use him in a passing game, he might be the fifth option.
Not the 85 Bears with this Seattle stuff. Please stop it.
I know you're scared of them.
People can run the ball against the Seahawks.
Ty Montgomery's not running the ball against the Seahawks.
Earl Thomas not there.
Hold on.
Chancellor
Scott,
is.
Scott.
Wagner is.
Scott, hold on. I don't need.
This has nothing to do with it.
Hold on. Jonathan Stewart in a blowout last week, right?
Right.
Had 50 yards rushing. It was a blowout. 50 yards rushing.
29 came on a garbage time run.
Oh, fine. He had 50 yards rushing.
He's not going to be any
that
garbage
counts.
Time this week.
Okay. So Ty Montgomery, let's say, can you say that he possibly lost 50 yards rushing? What did I just say? He had 60, 40 last week?
I'll project about 30 yards rushing.
He had 40 last week and 6 carries.
I'd say it gets less than that this week.
Is the Houston rush defense worse than Carolina than Seattle? I don't know if that's true.
I think so.
Are you just saying that you're a Seattle fan? You have no idea.
I said that has nothing to do with it. You guys keep bringing it up.
Hey, relax.
We do.
I'm going to look it up right now. I'll let you know what
Bobby Wagner, Cam Chancellor.
What are their safeties? We know who the Cam Chancellor.
That's one of the best middle linebackers in football.
Cam Chancellor
and the best strong safety in all of football.
So I'm going to say about the running game because of Cam
run.
Chancellor.
Chancellor's a monster against the run.
A monster.
He is.
Yeah.
You're mocking me. Obviously, you haven't watched the Seattle game then.
I've watched the Seattle game, obviously. I don't need to watch it, you know, all the time, though.
So the Houston
Texans. If you've watched it, then you've seen how good Chancellor is.
Houston's 19, Seattle's 14. So they're the 14th best against the run. Is that great? Is that something I should be scared of?
It's better than Houston, and I think.
Not significantly.
I think with Chancellor and Wagner both
yards.
There, I don't think he does much.
It's 8 yards.
It's not 8 yards, buddy.
I got Seattle at 99. Seattle, the peak teams average 99.
Oh, yards per game. I'm sorry. I was going to get total yards. I apologize.
I'm not saying they're
107
invincible.
Versus the Texans.
I'm saying there are certain running backs, you know, that can have good games against
because
them.
Because you think he's a smaller frame guy.
I don't think he's a classic running back. I don't think, you know, he's going to make anybody miss against that kind of defense.
All I know is Seattle allows almost 100 yards rushing a game. That's not going
to catch
fire.
I just said, maybe you didn't listen to what I just said.
Oh, I listened. You told me the type of running back.
No, I said,
yes, you did.
And you didn't listen.
Yes, you did.
No, you didn't. What I said was they're not invincible, but this is not the type of running back.
You said that after we gave you the stats, where you just told us how great the Seattle running defense is, Cam Chancellor and Bobby Wagner.
They're a very good run defense.
They're the 14th best run defense, which puts them in the half. They're half of the league's
better.
All right,
fine, I give you that. But still, Ty Montgomery's not good enough to do much against them.
I think you are underestimating Ty Montgomery.
I think you're overrating them.
We're going to find out. We're going to find out this Sunday. We'll talk more about Ty Montgomery and Seattle on the other side of this. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Stick around. 2 more hours to go.